Okay, so we begin. So we are at the end. Sorry, the page one is somewhat blurry, but we kind of only really need the middle of it, the tour, which is also blurry, but hopefully somewhat usable. So the we've spoken about Rishpei. What? Oh, I put it up. Yes. Here.
Sorry, I was late.
One second, how do I... There, here, and there. Okay. Okay, so so we begin with the end of Rishpei Vav. I'm sorry. We are... Do I have the right page here? Sorry, Rishpei Ches. That's what we're up to. I'm sorry. So the end of Rishpei Ches, all of Rishpei Ches is really discussing the actual mezuzos themselves. What are the halachos of the mezuzos? So we started last week talking about the Shin Dalad Yud that appears on the back of the mezuzos. So that we're used to seeing because the Shin Dalad Yud is designed to be able to be seen. That's part of the bracha that comes from the mezuzah, or the protection that comes from the mezuzah, is the fact that the Shin Dalad Yud is able to be seen, which is why some, might get into this down the road a little bit, that's why they officially see-through cases are better than hard cases, because then you're able to see the Shin Dalad Yud on the mezuzah itself. If not, so then that's why people have the custom of writing Shin Dalad Yud, or just Shin, on the mezuzah case itself. But, okay, so the Shin, we talked about last week how sometimes that's covered, and there's different ways of getting around that. Now, the other thing on the back, and the truth is it's probably better to start in the... the other thing on the back is in the Torah quotes is the letters that are on the top. And these drive people, everybody wonders what that is when they see it, especially because you don't often see it. So on the third line, fourth line here, it says in the Torah, V'chein noagim ba'ashkenaz uvitzarfat, that the minog in Germany and France is lichtov mibachutz k'neged Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, shem shel yud dalet osios. To write opposite the words Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, right? How many words is that total? So yud, it says yud yud here, but it's really yud k yud yud k yud 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 k vav k. So that's 4, 8, and then Elokeinu is 6. So that comes out to 14 letters. So they write the 14 letters on the back of the mezuzah corresponding to those. Now one second. Get some of my trusty mezuzahs here. So. Right, so when you roll a mezuzah, you don't see it, but this is where it is. On the top here, right, there is that is what's written on the back of the mezuzah, right? And it spells out, for some reason it's upside down. I don't know why that is, but it spells out Kozu b'mechusad Kozu, right? What in the world does that mean? Actually, it says it here. Vehem Kozu b'mechusad Kozu, right? Ba'alpha beta, and so it's one letter off. Right, Vehim Kozu b'mechuza Kozu. Right, Chaf is one letter off from the Yud, Vav is one letter off from the Hey, Zayin is one letter off from the Vav, and then Vav is one letter off from the Hey, and continues on Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, and that's what's there. That's added in. There's why is it added in? So it's a kind of a big mystery. It's Al Pi Kabbalah. It's a little bit. The Beis Yosef doesn't really give a reason for it. He just says that is the that is the minhag. Now, truth is, maybe we could just take a look now. I think page in the sources, page 3. Oh, sorry, it's sideways. But page 3 here is from the Sefer HaMezuzah. So he quotes it. Actually, you can see on the top there, picture number 16 is what the back of the mezuzah looks like. Those are those letters being added in. And there in footnote number Lamed Ches, so he gives a bit of a reason. He suggests a reason for it, which I found interesting, somewhat, might be somewhat viable. So he says there, where are we here? Page, don't know. Okay, so what does he say there? I'm sorry, it's sideways again. So but he writes, the Ramo Beis Yosef Kasef Shalom Nagukein, that the Ramo himself says that it's not our minuk to do. But Bizmanenu Chelik Mi Asufrim Hasfardim Noagim Liflukein. But nowadays, there are those that have the minuk to do it. So Tam Ksivas Shemos Ha'elu Lo Nisbayer. Now the reason for writing these is not so clear. Ubevada Yeshbehem Inyan Gadol Al Pisod. But there is definitely a good reason, according to Kabbalah, according to reasons that are the reasons are so high and so deep that we're not able, that even that nobody really knows what they are. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't do it? So, if we recall, we saw a couple months ago already in Shul, one of the Friday night things. So, the Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Lecha Mishnah, when he talks about which challah should go on top, that at night you put the challah you cut on the bottom, and during the day you put the challah that you cut first on top. So the Shari Tshuva makes a comment there that, and even if you don't really know what the Kabbalah is behind it, what the sodos, what the secrets are involved with this, don't worry, you can go ahead and do it anyways. You don't miss out by doing it. So this would be another example. We don't really know what it is, but we keep on going ahead and do it. But then he goes on here. He says, "Va'gon Rav Ruvain Margolios b'sifro yisod ha-mishnah va'richta." So Rav Ruvain Margolios, do we know who that is? Very interesting fellow, I think. Let me just make sure. There it is. So there's a sefer on Sanhedrin called, called the Margolios Sayam. It's a famous sefer on Sanhedrin where this is before the time of computers, where he quotes like everybody on everything. Somehow he had a phenomenal, amazing memory, amazing bekias, like people all over, not just within the, all over Svarim, whatever was found on those topics. So he wrote many Svarim. So one of them here, he writes, he says, Metzia Hezber Lekach. He gives a reason, Al Piyamuchach Medivri Chazal Bekam Mekomos Shegezera HaMalchus Levatel Mitzvos Mezuzah. Now we find very often that there was some kind of government edict against having mezuzos. Umeyata Yesh L'Sha'er Ki Az Kasfu Kesimin V'Zecher B'Mokom HaMezuzah Es Elu HaOsios HaSmuchos L'Shem. So there was some kind of a gezerah that was imposed that you can't put a mezuzah there, and you can't write the names of Hashem there. So they used to apparently write the names of Hashem, but one-off. So it wasn't actually the names of Hashem. But at least they would have some kind of zecher, some kind of remembrance to the idea of a mezuzah. And he says, just as we find in Meseches Meiser Sheni, Shayu Kosvin Taf Tachas Truma V'Chiyotzeba, that there's a Mishnah that says that if you find like a barrel, you find like a pitcher, and there's a tuff on it, so you have to assume that it's Truma, because probably it was a Truma pot, and the person wrote tuff on it instead of writing the entire Truma. So that's what he gives as an example. So you see, like over there, you only wrote one letter as a remembrance to what really should be there. So that's his suggestion as to where those writings came on the top there. But that is... But that's the best I could do. Don't really have any other great reasons beyond that. So, but then he continues on and says,
it's written upside down, so I had to turn it back upside down. Kocho, uvachuso, kocho?
Yeah.
So those are all like one letter off from Yudke Vavke?
Hashem, yeah. Chozu, Chaf Vav, Zayin Vav. So Yud is one off from Chaf, Vav is one off from Hey. Zion is one off from Vav, and Vav is one off from Hey. And then Elokeinu, Beis is one off from Aleph, Mem is one off from Lamed, Vav is one off from Hey. Right?
The letter after the real letter.
Okay. Alright. Okay, so it's on all your mezuzahs, don't worry. It should be, at least.
But
on the inside, you're not allowed to add anything on. V'lo lasos chosmos l'fi shenira ki'ilu mach mechavin lasos lo kemia l'shmira. And you shouldn't put anything at all on the inside, any markings at all, because then it looks like you're trying to make some kind of kemia to be shmira. where we would see it, but I guess most of it's so fuzzy we won't read it through. But the Beis Yosef quotes a tshuva from the Rambam, where the Rambam gets very upset with people that would mark things up on the inside of their mezuzahs, that they would put other things there as some type of protection. Right? So the Rambam says that that's not what gives you protection. It's the mitzvah mezuzah that gives you protection. Nothing else should be added in. So the Rambam makes an exception for these things that are on the back, the shin dalad yud and the kozu b'mechutzas. Kozu, that he makes an exception for, but other than that, nothing else should be on the back of a mezuzah either. So sometimes there are, a sofer might write something in order to, like, keep track of numbers or something like that, might put a pencil mark, so it's best to erase that before actually using it for the mitzvah in order to fulfill this this din. But mi'ikar din, we'd be okay with that. I don't think there are some I saw that he quotes would passel mezuzahs as a result, but I don't really see how you would be able to passel the mezuzah as a result of that. Okay, so maybe we'll just move on. So go to the Shulchan Aruch here. So he just put in the Rama. We did the Mechaber last week. That's the Mechaber himself actually quotes this idea that nothing at all should be added onto the mezuzah. But then the Rama, we're on page 2 in the source sheet, should be a clear sheet. He says v'yishomrim neged harevach shebein haparshios. That if there's space between the parshios, right, nothing should be, that's where the shin dalad yud should be added in, okay? It says, v'chei no'agin umanichim nekev b'kana neged shem shaddai shiye nira mi b'chutz. And they actually put a hole sometimes, I've never seen this, but they actually put a hole in the margin of the mezuzah, assuming you have a large margin on the right side of the mezuzah, so that you're able to see the shin dalad yud. So od noagim, and then we also have a minhag lichtov mibachutz kozu b'mechusas kozu, right? That phraseology that we used before, and the Shach explains what that is. Neged Hashem Elokeinu Hashem v'yahapoch eila ha'osios miksivas ha'mezuzah, and you turn them upside down from the writing on the mezuzah. K'di shiagia kol os neged ha'os shemischalifbo, so that each letter will be able to match up the letter that it is corresponding to. Right, so that's Yud K Vav K, so it has it upside down so that it corresponds in that way. About Bifnim, Ein Lahosif Shum Davar Al Beis Parshas. But the inside, you absolutely shouldn't add anything in. And here's where the Taz quotes from this Rambam. A Rambam Kasav Kain Lefi Shira Shahayu Kosvin, because he saw people did write Shmos Malachim Mi Bifnim. People used to write the names of angels inside Lishmira V'Kasaleim, and he got angry with them. The Rambam was upset with that. El Tzarich Shiyase Kefi Mashihi B'Torah V'Hashmira Tavo Mimela. You should do what the Torah says. And the shmira, the watching, the security will come because of that. Ayidei asiyas hamitzvah, because you did the mitzvah, shetzivahu yisparach aleinu, that Hashem commanded us, as opposed to luck searching for some other type of trick to be able to put in there. Okay, so that is the I think that pretty much concludes the halachos of the actual mezuzah itself. So then we get back to Reish Pei Tes, then gets back to the actions of putting it up, where it should go, and things of that nature. So Reish Pei Tes Sif Aleph. Okay, so we're good. That's Reish Pei Tes. So Reish Pei Tes, and apparently that's also a little fuzzy, as that's page 4 in the Sura Feet. But the truth is, there's not much. What?
So
in the Torah says in Reish Pei Tes, page 4, he says, Balakova, he says, when you're coming to put it on, you want to be koveyat, you want to affix it to the door, yitanena bishofoferes, you should place it in a tube, shalkana, a reed tube, or something else, o shalkoldar, of anything, v'yigvena b'mkoma, and you should put it in its place, right, establish it in its place, v'yivarech baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, shir kishtam sabit sivana likvoa mezuzah, v'lo yivarech b'shas ksiva. You should make the bracha likvoa mezuzah, and you don't make a bracha when it's written, right? Writing a mezuzah, there's no bracha in writing the mezuzah. The bracha is only made when you affix it. So you will see why he feels the need to say that. But that is the halacha, right? V'lo yivarech b'shas ksiva. So the Beis Yosef says that's what the Rambam says, because the putting it up, that's when the mitzvah is. And then he also quotes from the Rashba here that if you have two or three doorways that need a mezuzah, so you can put them all up at once and only make one bracha on it. Okay, so that's when a person is putting up mezuzahs in their entire house, you make one bracha on one doorway that for sure needs a bracha. Not all doorways need a bracha, but one does. Find the one that does, usually the bedroom or the front door, and make a bracha on that one, and then go ahead and do the rest of the house all off of one bracha. For some reason, the last week, I've gotten three or four shilas about this bracha issue. That would only be if it's all in one shot. So this is actually last night somebody texted me this issue, that they were putting up their mezuzahs and they realized they were like six short. So the first text was, can you send me six more cases? They had mezuzahs, just didn't have cases. Can you send me six more cases? And then they said, oh, by the way, when I put these up tomorrow, do I have to make another bracha? So the answer is yes, because you're not doing it all in one sitting. You're doing it, you're spreading it out. Okay, so what then? So there's not much in the Torah Beis Yosef. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? So the Shulchan Aruch here in Reish Pei Tes Aleph must be on what, page 5, I assume. Page 4, page no. Oh no, back to page 2. Right, so back to page 2. Back to page 2. So Reish Pei Tes Aleph. So here we're back into all sorts of footnote things going to the Nosei Kelim on the side. So he says Balakova. So you intend to put it up. You come to now establish it. Yanichena bishvo feresh alkana, put it in the reed, oshel kol dover, or anything else. Vigvena bimakum, and put it in its place, and you make the bracha. Asher kishamas avetzivana likva mezuzah, velo yivarech b'shas ksiva. You don't make the bracha at the time of ksiva, and adds the rama, v'hukva bezo gimel mezuzos mevarech bracha achas l'kulam. If you're being koveya, several mezuzos, so then you can do them all at once. Okay. So okay.
Just they had smaller houses then. So he says two or three at a time.
Right. No, they definitely did. They definitely did have smaller houses back then. Okay, so the truth is that. Okay, so let's take it piece by piece. Really, the Pisgei Tshuva is where the action is here. So the Pisgei Tshuva on the bottom, Reish Pei Tes Aleph, so here he talks about the checking. What about when you check the mezuzos? So he says, Kasa Bari, so Simon Reish Pei Vav, that im hisir ha-mezuzah, I'm not sure who the Re is, by the way. He's quoted a few times here. I'm not sure who that's referring to. But he says, im hisir ha-mezuzah lebatka, v'daito lachser v'lekava, that if you remove the mezuzos in order to check them, and you have in mind that you're going to put them right back. So yesh lehistapik yivarech kishechozer v'kava. So then there's a question whether you have to make another bracha when you go back to put them back in their place. So lashon limudim or chayim simon lam yudal. Okay, b'nei, ein hatshuva hanal lipni lefanai v'cheis liyadati makom hasafik b'zeh. He says, the truth is, I don't have that shuva in front of me, and I don't really know what the question is. Am I lo havizek kimo pasha tilaso al das lachzor v'lisotafbo? I mean, why would that should be compared to the case of a person whose talus falls off, but he takes off his talus thinking that he's going to put it back on. So when you take off your talus to go to the bathroom during davening, so you make a new bracha when you put the talus on. So the end, we paskin no. Tefillin might be different, but with a talus at least, the answer is no, because you're taking it off, having in mind that you're going to be putting it on again soon. Oh, but tefillin, I'm gonna.
If you're checking the mezuzah, presumably you have in mind that there's the you're checking it because it might be possible. There has to be some doubt in your mind that you're going to not put back this mezuzah, but you're going to put another mezuzah that you're going to buy instead of that.
Yeah. It's an interesting point. There is a halacha you need to check mezuzahs. So that's first of all. Many people who check their mezuzahs have no havamina that any of them are going to be pasul. Right? We'll get to it about checking mezuzahs twice every 7 years. We'll see what that means. But people that are strict about doing that, about checking the mezuzahs twice every 7 years, so they often have no doubt that the mezuzahs are going to be fine because they were just checked three years ago. But even so, you have in mind to put them back if it's kosher. So even though there might be a doubt, maybe I won't be putting it back because it's going to turn out to be puzzle, but you're assuming it's going to be kasher. You're taking it down, having in mind that I'm going to be putting it right back up. So I that's what I think. This is Dan's point. I'm sorry. He says, but maybe here the doubt is that the hacha lo havi al das lachzur. Here, when you take the mezuzahs in order to check, maybe you it's going to be found pasul ulakava the shema yimtza psul. And therefore, that's what his question is. I mean, what he's quoting here in the Piskei Tshuva is he doesn't understand why there was a doubt about it, that if you take the mezuzah down to check, so obviously you're going to make a bracha when you put it back up. It should be the same as a talis that falls off. So comes Dan and says, yeah, but in this case, it's a little different because here you're taking it off, dafka the seat, if you're going to put it back on. That would be the way of putting of saying it probably, and therefore that's the reason to doubt whether you would make the bracha. V'nir de'im, not period. Okay, period. So that's the checking thing. You have one more sentence to cover, but that is the. But I think you generally assume if you're just taking it down, you're checking it and putting it back up. So then that would be you would not make another bracha. Now, generally speaking, that's not the way it works. The person takes them all down and then brings it to somebody to check, and then the person checks and then brings it back, right? So it ends up being a longer period of time, right? So what the Piskei Tshuva is describing is you take it down, you look at it, and you're putting it back. So there's really no Hesach Hadas. But once there's a Hesach Hadas, once there's some other thing that you're doing in the middle, so then at that point you would make another bracha when you put it back. So in most cases, Bizman Azeh, if you're having your mezuzahs checked, you'll make a new bracha when you put it back. Now, there is, raises a bit of a question on that, and that is, I mean, there's a whole question in the first place, why are you allowed to take the mezuzahs down to check during the time that you're taking it? I mean, who said? Where did that come from that you should check mezuzahs, right? Because as long as they're on the wall, so you're being Yosi a mitzvah. So in essence, telling a person to go and check their mezuzahs means that you're telling them to not fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah while the mezuzahs are being checked. So the answer to that, some get pretty fancy about it, but the answer is that's part of the mitzvah of mezuzah. Part of the mitzvah of mezuzah, at least the way the Rabbanan established it, was that you should have your mezuzahs checked every once in a while. So that's also a fulfillment of the mitzvah of mezuzah. Now, some have even said that the requirement to check the mezuzah is almost okir davar min haTorah, meaning the Torah is telling you to keep a mezuzah. And the Rabbanan come along and saying that, no, don't do the mitzvah for a couple hours or a couple of days because we want you to check them. Okay, that gets a little fancier and that raises some other questions. But either way, that's part of the rule. So when people ask me if I check their mezuzahs and they say, well, what am I doing for the next day or two? So I'll say, listen, that's the way the mitzvah was established. The mitzvah was established that you're going to have your mezuzah on your doorway and they're going to be checked every once in a while. So yeah, ideally we'll do it as quickly as possible, but it's not like you're going to do it at breakneck speed. You're going to do it at a reasonable time. So that's why I don't think there's really, I mean, sometimes people put a mezuzah on their front door if they request it or something like that, but usually the minhag is not to put a mezuzah on every doorway during the interim, and I believe that that's the lumdus as to why. Okay, so that's the bracha after checking issue. So then the Piskei Tshuva then adds in, though, he says, v'nira but the nafal ha-mezuzah mi'atzma, if the mezuzah falls by itself, la'aretz, to the ground, v'rotz to the cover, now you want to put it back up, so guess what? Tzarech v'adai levarach, then you definitely need a bracha. Kamo nafal ha-taliso sham, just like when a talis falls off. What do you mean? So in the Shulchan Aruch there, when it discusses taking a talis off in order to put it back on, so it also discusses what if it just falls off in the middle of nowhere? So if it just falls off and you didn't even realize it was falling off, so then you would have to make another bracha when you put it back on. So to hear with the mezuzah, you would make a bracha when you put it back on. Now, a post can point out with the talis, usually, you know, by the time the talis has already slipped to the point that it's falling off, you realize that it's falling off, you're just not fast enough to get it. So your talis is actually on you for a little bit of time, before you, and you know that, oh, as soon as it falls off, I'm going to get it and put it back on. So we all, you're usually not going to make a bracha on putting a talus back on. But with the mezuzah, yeah, if you walk, come home and all of a sudden the mezuzah is on the floor, so then it would, so then you would make a, you would make a new bracha when you put it back up, presuming that that is a doorway that requires a bracha. Sometimes it's the bracha, that doorway does not, right? If there's no doorway on, if there's no door on the doorway, it doesn't require a bracha. So you wouldn't make a bracha in that case. Okay? So that is Simon, so that is the first Piskei Tshuva, the issue of checking and making brachos after one checks. The next is a sort of a famous grub, because people scratch their heads trying to figure out what he's talking about. But the Piskei Tshuva are quotes from the grub. So he says, Ban Hagas HaChasid HaGra. Now, there is, what does that mean? What are the, meaning it was some kind of tradition that was passed on, that these were things that the Gra did. I do not believe, there is a collection of traditions of things that the Vilna Gaon did. It's known as Sefer Maisa Rav. I don't believe this is in it. I forgot to check it up today, but I believe in the past I looked it up. I don't believe this is in it. But he quotes the following. He says, Kasav lo yichro chamzuza beklaf v'chedomeh. That you shouldn't wrap the mezuzah in cloth. But I think he means is in some kind of covering around the mezuzah. Why? De'im chedomet shelo yehei chotzeitz bein ha-mezuzah le-mezuzos, habayis. In order not to have a chatzitza, in order not to have a separation between the scroll and the doorway. So if you take most, right, habayis, ad kan dvarav v'tzarchin. The Piskei Tshuva says, that's very questionable. Right, so what's he saying? Right, a regular mezuzah case has a front and a back, right? If you take the, right, so the classic plastic mezuzah case, right, there is a front, right, the front and the back that goes on the back. So the Vilna Gaon says, hey, once you put a back up, you are creating a separation between the mezuzah and the doorway, right? So the Gra says, no backsies, I guess, right? So he says, no backsies, because he doesn't want to have any separation. So the Piskei Tshuva himself adds that with Vitzarchian, like, that's very questionable, because, what do you mean? So I can't have any paint on the doorway either? Because that's going to be a chatzitza? And, like it was somewhat of an Eilin Davar Sof. So the only thing I saw was not a defense of the Gra, but actually an attack on the Gra. The Aruch HaShulchan, on page, what do we got, 5? Yes, at the end of this simon, so the Aruch HaShulchan in the Rashi script, this isn't so clear either. So he says, Ra'isi b'pischei tshuva, I saw in the Piskei Tshuva b'shem hanhagas hagra shelo yichroch ha-mezuza klal, shelo tei chatzitza beino l'kosel, ayin sham. He says, v'teima, I can't tell. What is he? I can't tell what that says. Sorry about that. He says, Vitema, how could that be?
It seems to me that if there's no, for the mezuzah, for an outdoor, a doorway to the outside, without the back, there's likely to be an opening for water to get in.
Correct. Right.
That seems like a really bad idea.
Right. Right. So it is not a great idea for that reason. Now the Vilna Gaon would say, well, then put it in the doorway. So there have some people do that. I actually. In the Yandorf house, in the Yandorf dining room, but in the room between the dining room and the kitchen. So I went with our Chassan and Kala Motzi Shabbos there to get the to sign their prenup. Because Debbie is a notary. So I noticed their doorway between their kitchen and their dining room is a carve out. They have, because it's a sliding door, so they carved into the door a spot for the mezuzah to go. So that might be what the Vilna Gaon would tell you to do. He would tell you to dig into the door and put it there.
Into the door itself?
Yeah, into the doorpost.
Into the doorpost.
Like a niche.
Right. Right. You put a niche into the doorpost. The Abrahams have that also, I believe. The Abrahams have that in there. In fact, in the Abrahams' house, that's the only mezuzah that is diagonal. because the Abrahams, Sfardim, put the mezuzah standing up. That's later on in the Siman. They put their mezuzah standing up. Ashkenazim put it diagonal, but they, I think, didn't realize that when they first moved into the house. They dug in the when they dug into the door, they did it diagonal. So that's I think then they asked Rabbi Kaplan, or Rabbi Kaplan said, you don't have to do another dig. So so they that's the only slanted mezuzah in the Abraham house is the one that's carved into the doorway. So anyway, that might be what he says. So I have a trouble. I'm not really sure what he says here, but Levad Shebechol Haposkim Enokim, right? Nobody else writes this. Kamosha Kasev Od Kashi says the Eich Yikva Masmerim Kamezuzah Atzma. Right? How would you then put Masmerim? How would you then put nails into the mezuzah itself? And that's not really a question, because you can still have the case, right? So you can still put it around the case. But really, the real question is, how do you call that a chatzitza, right? Hakol batel lahakosel. Everything is batel to the kosel. Umigreya hanayir shamezuzah karuchba o ashofera shalait. He says, what's the difference whether it's wrapped in paper or it's in a tube? O shel matachas, or it's metal, right? Mea eitzim. O avanim, or it's stone, or anything. Shel etzem mezuzah, right? Habayis ubaru shashomea shama vita. That whoever heard this made a mistake. He says, I think, right, whoever heard this made a mistake. Kasev v'shem Rabbi Yehonasan, shafil yesh ladam harbi batim, v'yesh eino nichlas l'shem rak pam b'shana. They all require me. That's the asking. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that somebody misheard something. It's an interesting idea, but he thinks that the Gra never said that idea. And truth is, I looked in the Agrabo Alecha. I don't think he doesn't even have it there. He doesn't even really discuss this this sheet of the Gra. So it's somewhat of a believe it or not Vilna Gaon. I don't know if there's any defense for it that's out there. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that it's all that it's not that he never said it.
I think he was saying also, if you don't wrap it, how do you put nails in?
Right, but you could, meaning no, but if you have the where did my plastic case here go? Right, so my plastic case. This would be a good Gra case. What?
You could just leave off the back.
Right, just leave off the back, and then you nail this in.
They didn't have that kind of case back in those days.
Wait, isn't the grunt just talking about wrapping it in cloth the same way that we wrap a Sefer Torah in cloth, or we wrap any other number of things in additional coating?
Well, no, but there's no din about a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah has to be attached to anything, right? You can't put your tefillin, for example. You wouldn't put your yarmulke between your tefillin and your head, right? That would be considered a separation. Or you don't wrap your tefillin above your sleeve, it has to be under your sleeve, because that would be a separation. So Vilna Gaon says, same thing here, right? You can't have a separation between the cloth and the doorpost, right? So I think...
You don't have the cloth actually on your head, you have the parchment.
Oh, because but the tefillin, there's a mitzvah to have the... by tefillin, there's a mitzvah to have the batim. The houses have to be there. All right. By mezuzah, there's no such mitzvah. By mezuzah, in theory, you could just put up parchments all over the house. Now, it's not a great idea, and the Shulchan Aruch here says that you dafka should put it in. Right? He says you should put it in a reed or some kind of tube or something. But Mikra didn't. That's more of a safety issue. It's not really required. So the Gra would say, well, don't. What?
The Gra is saying don't put it in anything.
He's saying don't put it in anything with a back.
Or a tube. Anything that has a...
Well, a tube is not... I mean, by tube, he means a tube, because a tube doesn't have a back. A tube is a tube.
Yeah, but there'd be a separation between the... Right. ...mezuzah and the doorpost.
Right. That would be the problem. I mean, don't put anything with a back.
Right. Including a tube.
Right. Nobody else said it before the Gra, so that's not a question. The Gra's not bothered by that. That's not an issue. All right, so the last case here, this gets to a little bit of the heart of some of the questions that we've been alluding to for a while. And that is the issue of what exactly is the mitzvah of mezuzah? Is the mitzvah to put it up? Is the mitzvah to live in a house with a mezuzah? Is the mitzvah to have a house with a mezuzah? Or what exactly is that mitzvah? In fact, Rabbi Meth, who had that mezuzah book, so he suggests that you could, that he suggests and rejects, but the suggestion is interesting, that maybe mezuzah is not even a mitzvah at all. because there are some Rishonim who suggest that if your house does not have a mezuzah, you cannot reside in it. You cannot even go into the mezuzah, meaning if to the point that if your mezuzah falls on Shabbos, so you have to leave the house because the mezuzah is muksa. Now, why exactly that is, I'm not sure, but perhaps the mezuzah is muksa, or you have no way of putting it back on, and therefore, if there's no mezuzah in the house, you have to leave. So he says, if that's the case, maybe putting a mezuzah up on the house is kind of like doing shechita on an animal. That maybe it is a mitzvah, and we do make a bracha on it, but we can make a case that it's not really a mitzvah to do shechita, even though it is, but maybe it's not really a mitzvah, it's just a way to get to meat. That's just what you have to do. So maybe this is the way to live in a house, is that you have to put a mezuzah up. But that is rejected. The second question then is, okay, so is the mitzvah to have a house with a mezuzah on it? In which case, well, what about a house that I don't live in, or a house that I only go to once in a while, or a house that I, or a house that someone else is living in? Or is the mitzvah to put a mezuzah up? And in which case, at what point does one become obligated to do so, right? And also, if you're going to say the mitzvah is to put one up, then it's over, right? It's over a moment later, right? You do it, and that's it. The mitzvah is done. You did your mitzvah. Which is a little hard to accept with the mitzvah of mezuzah that's supposed to be there all the time. All right, so how does this get reconciled? So the Piskei Tshuva here says, right, you make the bracha Asher Kishan Sa Tzivanu likvoa mezuzah. So the bracha sounds like the bracha is the mitzvah is to put it up, likvoa mezuzah. So it says the Piskei Tshuva, Ayin Magin Avram Simin Yud Tesif Katan Aleph. Now the way his rendition of the Magen Avraham, I had trouble putting it together, but I put the Magen Avraham here on a page, I believe, yes, page number 6, and I deliberately made the page smaller. I only copied part of the page. So this is in Hilchos Tzitzis, right? The Magen Avraham is in Or HaChaim. So in Hilchos Tzitzis, he talks about in the context of Tzitzis is an obligation on the person. And not an obligation on the beged, right? You don't have to have all your four current garments have tzitzis on it. It's just the ones that you wear. So shekolz man she'enu lovu shatal is pater mitzitzis. V'lefichach, therefore, enu mevarich al asiyas hatzitzis she'en mitzvah el b'levisha. So you're not going to make the bracha on making the tzitzis because the mitzvah is to wear it. So it says the Magen Avraham, that's interesting. How do we compare that to mezuzah? Right, the mitzvah is only to wear it. This is, so the Magen Avraham is where it says Yud Tes Aleph, about 5 lines from the bottom there. So he says, I'm a Gemara Perkdal de Menachos Vitzarachian. He says, why is this different than mezuzah? Tzitzarach Levarich Kishakova. That by mezuzah we say you make the bracha when you put it up. The Hasamnami, there also we would say Kaimelan Chova Sadarhu. The mitzvah is when you're living in it. The Kol Zman She'eno Dar Besocha. Pater mi mezuzah. So if you're not living there, so then you should say that you're pater from mezuzah. And that's what the chinkas of Tosfos Menachos. V'lachei nira li, d'stama d'milsa b'mezuzah kova kishadar b'socha. That you should only, the mezuzah is only established once you're living there. L'chei mevarich al asiyasa. And therefore the bracha is on making it, meaning making the place a house with a mezuzah on it. Aval talis misdama koveya bo tzitzis ad shelo lovsho, that you have you put tzitzis on it even when you're not wearing it. Lachein enu mevarich al asiyasi, you don't make the bracha on doing it. Ve'enachinam im haya lovush tzitzis v'nifsaku lo v'hitil bo tzitzis acheir mevarich asher kishan asad tzivan lasso tzitzis kamo b'mezuzah. But if you were wearing a garment and the tzitzis came off, or broke, and now you tie it back on, it sounds like while you're wearing it, so says the Magen Avraham, so yeah, so make the bracha, lasos tzitzis, asher ki yisham sav tzivanu, lasos tzitzis, just like we do by mezuzah. That's what he says. Miu yesh lomer demiyad kishenifsak michuyev leposhto letachno, however, you would say that as soon as it breaks, your ab michuyev, you have to take it off and fix it. As opposed to by mezuzah, lohi trichu. They don't force you to do the rabbanon to do the lak or diraso to move out until you get a mezuzah. Vefshar duha din mezuzah im kavah bo mezuzah. So too, the same thing would be by mezuzah. If you establish a mezuzah before you live there, so then says the Magen Avraham, when you go to live there, you make the bracha asher ki yisham esavet zivanu ladur bevayis sheyesh lo mezuzah. You would make that bracha. So that's pretty amazing. The Magen Avraham just made up two new brachos in that Magen Avraham, which it sounds like he paskins like. He says if you would, so the first one is pretty rare, right? If you break your tzitzis, not too many people are just going to tie it while wearing it, right? Especially because, as he said, you're supposed to take it off. Now, if you don't have any other garment around, so then you don't have to, I guess you don't have to take it off, and I guess that's what the Magen Avraham is alluding to. But that's going to be a pretty rare occurrence. But the second one happens all the time, because we're going to learn a halacha about leaving mezuzos in place, right? This idea that when you move out of a house, you have to leave your mezuzos there. So that means that someone else is moving into a house with mezuzos already standing. So do you make a bracha at that point? So says the Magen Avraham, yeah, you'll make a bracha at that point. What bracha do you make? You're not being koveya mezuzos. Rather, he says, "Asher ki yishtam etzav etzivanu ladur bevayis sheyesh bo mezuzos." We are commanded to live in a house that has a mezuzah. It's a pretty impressive feat that the Magen Avraham did. So that's sort of one extreme, right? That he's learning that the mitzvah is either to put it up or to live with it. And so when you make a bracha to live with it, you're going to make a bracha about living with it, almost a new bracha. The other extreme is a tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And surprisingly, it's not quoted on the page at all, but the Rabbi Akiva Eger, so I'll read it off the page here. Rabbi Akiva Eger here is the last page. So it's somewhat of a believe it or not thing. And it sounds like he held of it, although he seems like he also then backed down. So what's he talking about here? So on the right side where he says, "V'lefizel inyan mezuzah, l'gabi sukkah v'lu of yesh lomer, detayu b'vez teirutim b'zvachim sham," okay, the little kind of, aval, no, let's skip that. Here, v'nirali, on to the bottom right. V'nirali ha'achra, kevan de, I'm not sure what lama lama b'vez stands for, mikri mezuzah tadir, u'mechuyav l'hakdimo. Oh, sorry, this is talking about what you do first, mezuzah versus something else. Let's do that. Oh, sorry, va'agav odio. That's where you go. Top left, where I do have the underline. That's where we should start from. It says, va'agav odio. It says, by the way, let me know you something. Ma dina l'odina. What we mentioned earlier, lahalacha. B'mishi yatsa midi rasu l'bayis achi l'dursham. Somebody who leaves their house and goes someplace else to live. And he goes to that second house, and there's already a mezuzah there that the first person left. That he would actually make a new bracha on that mezuzah, because that is a new mitzvah to him in this house. He says, and even though that seems to be obvious, it seems to me that people aren't careful about this and they forget about it. They don't do it. The nearly, and then here it goes, the gam, haholach mibesu laskav b'shuk, even a person who goes from their house to do work, shows harbe for many hours. Upamin no se meiro al eze yamim, and sometimes he even goes out of town on a business trip. The lechora hadin, the halacha should be, the cheshechozer lebeso, yivarech al hamitzvah. That he comes back to his house, so now he's being yotzei his mitzvah of mezuzah again. He should make a bracha every time he enters his house. That's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Every time you come into your house, either l'kvoa mezuzah, because Rabbi Akiva Eger might not be so into changing the nusach of brachos, or, as the Magen Avraham said, shetzivanu ladur bivayis sheyesh lo mezuzah. That's what he would say, right? Daha bintayim shaloya bediris beso, that so long as you weren't in your house, loya lab chovas mezuzah, you didn't have a chiv of mezuzah. Umar chilat a chiv chadash, and now you have a new obligation. So therefore, you should make a new bracha. V'at demachzik beso ladur, even though it's your house, mikol malka m'shashin b'vesa, inu makayim mitzvah mezuzah b'zeh. You're not being yotzei the mitzvah mezuzah by the fact that you're living in it. See the Magen Avraham, v'gam b'nei beso p'turim, that's a different Magen Avraham than what we did, but v'gam b'nei beso p'turim, v'ein abayis shalahem. Also, people in your house are exempt, because it's not their house. Even if there are other people who are in the house, it doesn't count. And it's like a person who leaves their sukkah, goes and does what they do, and then they come back into their sukkah. So when they come back into their sukkah, they need to make a new bracha. It's a little bit questionable, ladino, whether that should be the halacha. So that's a pretty wild halacha that the Akiva Eger is presenting. He says, well, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to be in a house with a mezuzah. And that only happens when you're in the house with a mezuzah. So therefore, you're making a new bracha every single time you come in. What's the maisa mitzvah? Entering the house every time. So we, right, have a little trouble understanding that. Probably because we would say that, yeah, but every time, you know, your house is still your house the entire time, right? We wouldn't say, oh, and take the mezuzah with you and leave your house without a mezuzah during the day, right? I don't think we would do that. So this is a somewhat of a believe it or not, Rabbi Akiva Eger, sort of like an extreme lamda shashita, which we just don't assume like. And the truth is, Rabbi Akiva Eger himself backs down because he says at the end, it looks like he signed it, and then when they printed the tshuvos, he added in the following idea. He says, "Achar zman rav, after a while, bali yode sefer birkei Yosef harisi shekasim b'pshitos b'din harishon hanal the socher bayis sheyish bo mezuzah de'enu mevarchni. If you rent a house that has a mezuzah, you don't make a bracha. The lo tiknu habracha rak al shas kviyas mezuzah. So you only make a bracha when you put it up. U'meila gam b'din habeis hanal b'nosei meirov achar chozil veso enu mevarich." Uldina Tzarech Le'iyan. He says, and probably that would be the same halacha by what I quoted as well. This idea that every time you went to your house again, you would have to make a new bracha, right? Why is that? So probably because the mitzvah of mezuzah is someplace in the middle. You have a mitzvah to put it up in the beginning, but then and it continues on in some way. Does that follow other patterns in mitzvahs? Probably not, because your other mitzvahs that are continuous, you're continuously involved in. Here, you're leaving and coming back, leaving and coming back, leaving and coming back. But yet, nevertheless, especially if you assume that there's some kind of shmirah aspect to it, so then you would say that the mezuzah is continuously active, even if you are not personally in the house at that moment. How exactly that works out in lamdas, so I'm not sure. Don't have a great answer to it. Especially because Rabbi Akiva Eger is on the other side of it, but I don't think anybody really paskins like that tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's more of a somewhat of a believe it or not shita that's out there that you could, you know, pull out whenever you want to say, yeah, you want to hear something cool. So that's when you would use that tshuva. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. I see Ricky has entered the room here.
I was just thinking about how that comparable to Bris Mila. That it's a mitzvah to do it, but it's also a mitzvah to actually be circumcised.
Right, very good. So there is a I saw it today. Where did I see it? Maybe it was in the footnotes of the Rabbi Akiva Eger. Here's my Rabbi Akiva Eger. Maybe it was in the footnotes that somebody made the point. There is a famous, I forget, a Gemara or Medrash. I think it is in the Gemara. The David HaMelech was like in the bathhouse, so therefore he wasn't wearing any clothing, and he was all upset that he's not being yotzi any mitzvos at that time. No, it's not here in the footnotes. I forgot where I saw it. And then he saw his bris, and he says, "Oh, look at that! I have my bris milah. I still have that mitzvah." So all of a sudden, so many get involved with that. Well, what does that mean? What mitzvah is he being yotze by the fact that he happens to have a bris that happened, you know, decades earlier? Right, what does that do? So there's probably two. There's a famous rugged shover that's going out that there's three dinim in a bris mila. One is to have a bris. Two is to not be an arel, and three is to be in the state of being brist. Right, so all three of those. So perhaps you could say a similar thing when it comes to mezuzah. There's a mitzvah to put it up, and then there's also a mitzvah to be in a state of having a house that has a mezuzah up on it. But you know, you got to prove it. Probably the proof is just that nobody makes a bracha every time they come in and out of their house. We don't find that anywhere else that anyone came up with that idea.
Now, this issue of kissing the mezuzah, is that something you got to cover in another?
I think that actually might be soon. I think that is here. Not the Rambam doesn't talk about kissing; he talks about touching it.
Right.
So really, I think the din is touching it. Is that here or is it? I forgot if that's here, or maybe it was earlier. All right, we'll try to get something in about that as well.